just has to. It gets inappropriate after that, so we have to cut it off. Even though you're singing along, and we know you're singing along, it just gets inappropriate, so we have to cut it off. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. Brian is in D.C. I think he has 2 speaking gigs today, so let's all feel sorry for him. He is speaking at SHRM Leadership. Wonderful group of people up there in D.C. Make sure you follow the hashtag #ShermLead, L-E-A-D, or LED, yeah, whatever. Make sure you're following that. And make sure you send Brian an email and tell him that he needs to get back on the show, get back to work. We miss him. But we're gonna go ahead and carry on. Nisha and I are with a wonderful guest. I can't wait to hear her story. Kim Pope, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, William. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a little cold outside. Us Texans, we don't like anything really south of about 80. You know, something that gets down in the 40s, it kind of, people are like pulling over on the sides of highways. It's crazy. We don't know what to do with it, but we don't want to talk weather because you live in one of the best places on the planet. So we don't want to talk weather with you, but if you don't mind, why don't we do this? Introduce yourself. Tell the audience a little bit about who you are, et cetera.
Yep. Okay. Well, yeah, so this is Kim Pope, and I live in sunny Tampa, Florida. I had to rub that in, William, to tell you it's 80 degrees and sunny here today, so I apologize. But I work in the recruitment process outsourcing industry, and I've been in the recruiting industry for many, many years now. I started my career, you know, on the staffing side of the business and then, you know, had a lot of executive search and joined, you know, the RPO space about 4 years ago for a full-service global RPO firm that's based here in Tampa, Florida.
And that's Wilson HCG, correct?
Wilson HCG, correct, yep.
Awesome. Now, I want to ask you 2 questions. First question is, what's keeping you up at night? And then the second question is, what's keeping your clients up at night? Let's dig into what's keeping you up at night these days.
Okay. Well, that one's easy, actually, because, you know, at Wilson here, we've been going through a lot of growth as a company. And we're growing globally, which is so exciting. But for me, the biggest thing that keeps me up at night is making sure that we're, you know, hiring and retaining the best people not only here in North America, but throughout Europe and also, you know, Australia have been a major focus for us. I mean, the culture that we have here at Wilson is a big focus for us as an organization, and being able to maintain that and hire the right people that, you know, understand that culture not only here but also globally is really what keeps me up at night. And we do understand that, you know, the culture locally is very, very important as we continue to grow, but also being able to intertwine that with, you know, what the special culture is here at Wilson.
That's a great story. You know, it's like here you are, you help other people and have for many years, help other mm-hmm. people recruit. And now y'all are going through a major growth spurt yourself, so you're having to kind of turn a lot of that stuff inward and help yourself recruit the right people, et cetera. There's an irony in that, of course. Years ago, when John and I got together, I think I was down there for a Burson event in St. Pete. And, I've worked with a lot of RPOs, and I've covered this space for a long time, and there's a lot of different models. There's a lot of kind of behind the scenes, how people do it, et cetera. But one of the things that, and it still sticks with me, the one of the things that he said to me, it's like, you know what we figured out is that what people want is they want service. They want great service. And so to commoditize outsource recruiting is actually for them and for him is the wrong direction. In fact, we should go for the hard to find, really the thing, and treat it like a luxury in some ways. Like you need more service. You need people, teams of people working on that, et cetera. And it is a luxury rather than a commodity. Tell us what your experience when you moved over into the RPO space. Like you're looking at how people sell it. You're looking at how people market it. What do you love about the RPO game, and you know, what are some of the things that if you could you would love to change about the RPO game?
Well, that's a good question. So it goes back to your point about service. I think, you know, for me when I moved over to the RPO space, the thing that I loved the most was being that true consultant to your client. it's really that, you know, partnership and that high touch approach that, you know, we've ingrained here at Wilson, and just ingraining ourselves in our partners' companies and our organizations and helping them, you know, be able to drive those strategic business goals. You know, it's not just filling requisitions for them. It's really focusing on optimizing the whole talent acquisition function. So, you know, what I mean by that is helping them, you know, learn how to develop a strong employment brand, or helping them develop some of those proactive, you know, workforce planning initiatives and building talent communities, you know, outside of just filling requisitions. So for me, it goes back to that service piece, you know, really being that true consultant in that partnership and then seeing their companies grow and that impact that we make on them. So back to your point too, William, about what I would want to change about the RPO industry, the one thing I would like to change, I think, is some of the preconceived reputation that it can have from the past, where RPO has really been focused more on just like the high volume, the transactional type partnership, to where they're seen more as a vendor than a partner. And, you know, that's always one of the biggest hurdles that we overcome in our partnerships, is just educating on how to leverage us more as a partner than just a vendor that's there to fill requisitions.
Well, that's interesting, Kim. And as you said in the beginning, as you stressed more on that cultural aspect, now you are recruiting for your clients. So how do you make sure you are making a best match for their clients based on their culture perspective?
Well, a lot of that work is done in the beginning. Even in the sales process for our team, we spend a lot of time up front really understanding, you know, what are those long-term business strategies, what is the culture of the organization, and then designing the team that is the best fit for that around their goals and their strategies. So, for instance, you know, some of our healthcare clients, it's key, especially, you know, say, for instance, they have nursing or physician recruitment, to hire or have recruiters internally that have had that experience, that are working on those positions and getting to know our client. And then longevity for us is key, you know, to dedicate a team that's dedicated full time and they're there long term to be that partner, you know, from start to finish. I think that's where you start to see the efficiencies of understanding quality and identifying the best fit for the roles, is understanding up front the best team and then utilizing that to execute.
Nice.
That's great.
All right, I'm gonna play Jay Coons for a moment. So okay. I'm Jay Coons. I'm VP
of HR. I actually know
Jay
Coons.
Very nice. So I'm not near as attractive as Jay Coons, which is we'll just leave that alone. We'll touch that. But the thing is like, we've gone through the contract negotiation. We're friends. We want to do business together. We sign off on everything. Take me into the first 2 weeks, the first 30 days, like what's the bell is rung, you're working together. What's it like working with your firm?
Well, the nice thing is that Jay's in Florida. So we, you know, it's easy for us to be able to go visit Jay right away in person, but being able to have that implementation team, you know, in those first 30 days to go on site and really sit down with the organization and have those strategy meetings and understand really what those goals are to be able to design the implementation, you know, from there is key. So Jay would definitely be an easy one just because he's, you know, right around the corner from our headquarters here down in Tampa, Florida. But we've got a very strong implementation team that is very process-oriented and, you know, does a really great job of managing that change management from, you know, the executive leadership all the way to the hiring manager level, and really educating them on what an RPO partnership is, how to best partner with an RPO to get the most ROI that you can from the partnership from there.
All right, you mentioned partners, so I got to ask you that. How, if you're, I'm going to give you a magic wand, and now you have a magic wand, so I want you to wave that wand. How should people go about, you know, because the decision here in the States is, should you do recruiting internally or should you outsource? And if you do some of it internally, are there better uses at some point or for some positions, should you do that in an outsourced way? And people do that in staffing, they do that in RPO, they do that in executive search. And so everyone is struggling with this decision. How should they go about the selection process If they've made the emotional connection of, okay, we're gonna move with an RPO. There are wonderful RPOs in the space. How should they go about selecting an RPO? Magic wand.
Well, okay, magic wand. I think the biggest thing that I see in the industry of selecting the best RPO, it really comes down to culture fit. So being able to go through that vetting process, whether it be, the RFP process and also the presentation process, but sitting down and understanding what are the goals of that RPO, sitting down with their recruiters. Like, we have a lot of clients that actually come on site or prospects that come on site and actually sit down with our team, listen in on phone interviews. They will, sit in any of our delivery meetings so that they can really see how we, kind of run our operations from there, and even meet the account managers and the recruiters that, will be dedicated to the account is key. So they know exactly what the partnership is that they would be, moving into, and making sure that it's the best fit culturally for them and aligns well with their business goals.
That is great. And one of my friends just recently asked yesterday, at what point they should decide to hire an RPO?
Go say that again, Nisha. I apologize, but I couldn't understand the full question there.
Well,
I apologize.
No problem at all. Well, actually, there is an organization. They have in-house recruiters, and they are finding some trouble when it comes to recruitment. So at what point they decide to have a third-party recruiter or to rely on RPOs?
Well, it depends on some of the main challenges, but it sounds like you had said that they're, maybe have scalability issues. I mean, one of the main benefits of an RPO is to be able to provide that scale, quickly when you have that fluctuation. But the other biggest benefit, I think, too, that companies need to look at is, really designing and developing a strong, proactive recruitment process. If companies are not looking at, designing that today, they're going to get left behind. So, I think that's where we sit down and it's important for us to understand what is the process today. Is it proactive? Are they doing the right things like developing the workforce planning, building out those talent communities, really focusing on the employment branding piece of, their business for, to keep up with that future long-term strategy. And if not, then an RPO partner can really come in and bring a lot of that consultation and a lot of those industry best practices of all the organizations that they work with today.
Some folks in the RPO space, they have sometimes some models where the people will sit at a desk inside inside the company, and sometimes that's that works, and sometimes they'll sit at their desk in a corporate headquarters, and you can also not only do that with recruiting, you can do that with sourcing, you can do that with a lot of different things. What's y'all's kind of philosophy around kind of that approach?
Well, we do both, William, actually. We have a hybrid model. So we do have a service center here in Tampa where a lot of our sourcing is, based here locally. But then we also have a model where we can be in market with our clients. So if our client's looking for recruiters to be on site, we can provide that. And we do have a good portion of our clients that look for that need, or also just recruiters that can be in market to support any regional initiatives as well. And we've learned that, not all the best recruiters sit in Tampa, Florida. So it gives us that flexibility to continue to hire top talent wherever they're located.
That's genius.
Yeah.
What if they fall in love? So if someone's in market, which I like that phraseology, I'm going to steal that. If someone's in market and they fall in love with that person, which I'm just assuming that this happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
What's the model for that? Like Sally is on site. She's been there for a year. We fall in love with her. She's just fantastic. A cultural fit for us, et cetera. What does that look like for y'all?
Well, usually in that case, they also fall in love with the process that the RPO provides and the scale and the technology that comes with the RPO. So, when that happens, we obviously, we don't allow that, but that is a big piece that we would remind them, that's kind of what the partnership of the RPO can provide them. But we see that a lot.
Yeah, right. It's just natural. What's big data or analytics How has that kind of changed y'all? You know, because everyone's talking about big data. Hell, there's commercials on TV about big data. So you know it's mainstream now when there's commercials. How has that kind of impacted your world in the RPO space?
It's impacted a lot, actually. And I see a lot of it, too, impact just from a sourcing standpoint. You know, our teams have done a really good job over the past couple of years is identifying, you know, the right technology tools to be able to use that data to make smarter decisions in their sourcing strategies and make smarter decisions really on, you know, how they're going about looking at talent and also workforce planning. So we use it with our clients to really help them determine, you know, future needs, future trends that we're seeing to be able to make smarter decisions when it comes to, you know, identifying what that workforce plan looks like in the future.
That's great. Well, when it comes to recruitment, normally we say the metrics that we should look at is the quality, speed, and cost. So how about it when it comes to RPO, when you work with a third-party client, especially when you said about working on their employer planning aspect, what are some metrics that you would look for to start with?
Well, I think all of those actually go hand in hand. So, you know, when you're focused on quality is a big metric actually that, you know, comes up in, you know, sales meetings is really how do you look at measuring quality? And, you know, what we pretty much tell our partners is it really depends on the organization, it depends on the types of roles, and it depends on kind of what their future plans are like. But, you know, we see a lot of them measure quality either through, you know, a lot of hiring manager feedback, survey scores and things like that, you know, from the recruiters and from the recruitment process, you know, when they're reducing, you know, the amount of candidates that the hiring managers are, you know, interviewing, you know, is a big piece of it. And then also the retention rates. I mean, a lot of our clients, you know, tracking their attrition and retention. But all of those go together to measure quality. And that's really a trend that we're seeing, you know, moving forward is by utilizing more than just a couple of metrics to be able to track that holistically.
That's interesting. And Kim, as you said before, the employer branding aspect, I can see, let's just say, if an employer who is not working with a third-party recruiter, but let's just say they are very good in terms of building their employer brand on social media and on their career website and utilizing all platforms. But let's just take the example of a company who's not that good in terms of employer branding. So when it comes to working with that particular client, how do you sell that position to the candidate and as well as sell the candidate to the employer?
Well, you know, really sitting down first, though, to understand what is the employer value proposition. If they don't have it clearly defined, then sitting down and helping design it with them is key. And then understanding, too, a lot of the, you know, part of the process is maybe interviewing some of their top performers and what has made them successful there and, you know, why do they enjoy working at that company, and then helping that prospect really design what that employer value proposition is to be able to leverage that to speak with candidates and really sell them on the opportunities, and then in hand, use that to develop more of an employment brand. So whether it's on social media, throughout their website, you know, we do a lot of consultation, you know, in different pieces of that for our clients today.
Nice. All right. You're going to put on your futures hat now. I took away your wand, but now you have your futures hat on. And I go 5 years, 10 years out. What's in your opinion, what's the future of RPO?
In my opinion, it's definitely more of that business services strategic partnership. So RPOs are becoming more and more ingrained in driving the business results along with HR in the organization. You know, helping with, as I mentioned, I know I mentioned it a lot today, but just helping with things outside of just recruitment and optimizing that. And I foresee that, you know, continuing to happen to where the RPO partnership continues to evolve as a true partnership and not a vendor relationship. And then I think globally, you know, we're going to continue to see that happen, you know, throughout the U.S. and globally as more and more RPOs are continuing to, you know, design and develop more of a multinational, you know, partnership presence.
Nice. Well, I'm going to take away your futures hat and I'll give you a global dress. And the global dress is years ago, I think this is 06, 07, I met with a bunch of RPO players in London. And I really kind of discovered that RPO was really kind of ahead in the UK. And a lot of that, at least as I understood it, was that they didn't develop a lot of corporate recruiters. The function didn't grow like it did in the United States, that they were just accustomed to outsourcing staffing and executive search and all that stuff. So we had kind of two different worlds that kind of grew up. So put on your global dress and tell us a little bit about the things that you're seeing and how the treatment of RPO is a little bit different in the different countries.
Well, I think one of the main differences, because I just got back from London actually last week, so, you know, that's an easy one to talk about first. But I think in the UK, what I see is a lot more of a it's an on-site model where they're, you know, that is really a custom that the recruiters are on-site in the organizations. But it's more of an MSP-type model to where they're also still managing a lot of the agencies that partner with them, you know, kind of underneath that on-site team. And I think that's one of the biggest differences that I see between the model here in the U.S. and there is that they're spending a lot of money, you know, on agency spend that they don't need to be, and they need to be focusing more on designing and developing that dedicated team that is, you know, focused on the organization, just like the model here in the U.S.
That's awesome. Okay, let me ask a little bit about RPO, Recruitment Process Outsourcing. So the process part of that acronym, let's zero in on that for just a second. How much of, because y'all have baked this, you've got kind of a defined way that, you know, things should go, and I'm sure there's some flexibility there. But after doing it as many years as y'all have done it, you've pretty much figured out how to get it done. So when you come into an organization, do you help them get their process better, or do you basically leverage your process to the outcomes that make them better?
That's a great question, and it depends on how you know, established they are as an organization from a process standpoint. What we bring to the table is our benchmarking that we have with working with, you know, multiple organizations throughout the years, you know, and we bring that. But at the same time, we also look to see what are, you know, what is their process today? What are some of their inefficiencies? And then, you know, where can we plug and play some of those best practices to make it their process? You know, it's really important to get to know what works best in that organization and that culture, you know, for it to be, you know, for it to be fully effective. So it depends. It really depends on how established they are.
Do you, when you look at a metric like time to fill, is that a is that a friend or a foe when someone, because I'm really thinking about the expectations, and I deal with this all the time where people come to me with really kind of whacked out or crazy expectations, and so most of my job is like bringing reality into the conversation. And so like time to fill is something like, I think most people in our space can talk about time to fill, but if someone on the other end, a prospect or a client, has an unreasonable time to fill, how do y'all kind of bring that back to reality?
Which happens often, actually, probably every day. you know, how we bring that back to reality, again, goes back to the benchmarking. So leveraging, you know, what we have seen work with our previous clients and really what we've seen work in the industry and just consulting them on that and consulting them on what it should be is usually the best place to start with that time to fill metric.
I think Nisha's on mute. Nisha, did you have a question?
Yes, I do have. I was about to ask, what is lacking today with some RPOs that you see, maybe your competitor or maybe the young and upcoming RPOs that are coming up? As William asked, the predictions of RPOs, I just wanted to know, what do you see lacking in today's RPO industry?
Well, I think, you know, I think I've said this a little bit already too, but I just really think that it's focusing more on that proactive recruitment model. I think right now the RPO space has been, you know, very, very reactive and just focused on, you know, filling requisitions, but they're not focusing today on bringing more of those consultative services to help, you know, talent acquisition leaders and HR leaders truly understand how to build a holistic, proactive recruitment function. So it's being able to have those extra services or value services like that employment branding or, you know, that those workforce planning services and also the technologies to put into place to build, you know, strong talent communities and leveraging social media in their sourcing strategies, I think is, you know, a huge miss right now. And then the organizations that are focusing on that are the ones that are going to be able to achieve those business goals that they want to achieve in the future.
All right, I see you as a coach, and coaches generally, regardless of the sport, or if you want to use a word that doesn't really exist, irregardless of the sport, they usually have to come down into two camps. One is there's either, you know, the gals and guys that are systems, where they have a system and then they go and get players to fit a system, or there's the other side of that that basically says, you know, systems, we can move systems around. It really comes down to what players are here, what talent do I have, fit the system to the players, so to speak. And so in our world, that the carryover is to process and tech. And you have some people that they believe that the solution to everything is in tech. And you have some people that believe on the other end of that that the solution is in process, that really we can get tech to fit the process. Where, you know, and you've done the job, and you advise people on the job and the outcomes, et cetera. What's that relationship like for you between process and technology?
Well, it's both. So I think it's important to have both. It's important to have a strong process and also, you know, a recruiting team that focuses on building relationships, having a high-touch approach to the recruitment model, and a proactive mindset. But technology is also key to be able to drive efficiencies, to be able to help drive compliance, to be able to, you know, just further optimize the process. So in our organization, both are extremely important.
All right, chicken and egg, though. And I'm gonna push you a little bit. Which one, if you have to say one, maybe even just a little bit more than the other, which one's more important?
I'm always gonna say that it's, and this, I'm a recruiter at heart. It is important to have the process, and it's important to be able to still, you know, have genuine and relationships, pick up the phone, make the cold calls. You know, reach out to the candidates from that space is still going to be my number one.
Yeah. Well, and not shocking. I mean, not shocking at all. What is, if there is anything that you are misunderstood at, I think that everyone's misunderstood, so I have a different belief, but if there were anything that you were misunderstood at, what would that one thing be that people don't get about you?
About myself as a Kim Pope or as in RPO?
As in Kim Pope.
That's a good question, William. That's a tough one. I would say, Wow, that's really tough, William. I would say, you know, for me, again, like I think it goes back to I'm a recruiter at heart. And, you know, I'm still heavily involved, you know, on the delivery side of the business today and, you know, still heavily involved in working with, you know, our account management team and kind of driving a lot of those functions is maybe something that is misunderstood about me because, you know, I'm so passionate about this organization. I'm passionate about RPO. And so that's why I moved over to, you know, really more on our business development side to be able to spread that message. But I'm still delivery and a recruiter at heart.
That's my favorite interview question, by the way. So
it's a good one. I love that.
Thank you. All right. Listen, we have had a wonderful show. 30 minutes flew by. We all learned a little bit more about RPO than when we started the call. Kim, thank you for kind of spreading the gospel and just helping us out, learning, breaking it down for us. Everyone have a wonderful afternoon. We're going to go out to a little Beastie Boys. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you both.